Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe.
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't know.
No.
I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, he's going to make it happen.
And Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your texts, your voicemails. You've got any questions for us, we're going to try and do mailbag tomorrow or Thursday. So make sure you get your questions in there. We will try to answer as many as we can. Drop us a voicemail if you feel so much inclined, or tweet at us. Happy Tuesday to you, Matt. Very excited because today we are going to kick off our player reviews. So we're going to act as if the Bulls season pretty much has come to an end. I think you and I have agreed that even if the Bulls go out there to play half a dozen games or so, it's not going to really change the course of what we're thinking as far as how the season went for any of these guys.
Tell John Paxson that. He's still evaluating his talent.
Still evaluating his talent. Yeah. So we're going to kick off our player reviews. Very, very excited for this, and very excited to start with our lottery pick from last year in Coby White. But Matt, first, how are you?
What's up, Jordan? What's up, Bulls Nation? Doing well. Still hanging out up here in Michigan, laying low with the fam. Another day. Various project to complete. Keeping the mind occupied. Hopefully you are as well. Hopefully all of our Locked On Bulls faithful out there are safe wherever they are and not going too stir crazy. And good news. We'll have plenty of content over the coming weeks as we dive into some player evaluations. As you said, we're kicking things off with maybe one of two bright spots of the Bulls' entire season, those being Zach LaVine and our first-round draft pick, rookie Coby White, who had a tough start to the season, had a couple of electric games in early going, certainly hit the rookie wall, but then had a flurry of a finish in February and into March, finally getting that start. And then cruelly, the NBA shuts down just as soon as Coby White finally makes his way into the starting lineup. So let's start with this, a quick rundown of his basic stat line of his rookie year. Coby White started one game and made 65 appearances, one of just a couple players to play in every single Bulls game before the season went on hiatus. In those games, he averaged 25.8 minutes per game, averaging 13.2 points on 12.2 shot attempts per game. Just didn't quite get his field goal percentage above 40% on the season with that late season's hot stretch. He finishes the season shooting 39.4%, 35.4% from downtown, and 79.1% from the free throw line, adding 3.5 total rebounds per game, 2.7 assists, 0.8 steals, and 0.1 blocks. Did turn the ball over 1.7 times per game, committed 1.8 fouls. So, I don't know about you, Jordan. The first thing that jumps out to me when you look back, at least stats-wise, about Coby's rookie year is the field goal percentage.
I'm totally with you. I'm just looking at it where he most frequently was shooting the ball over the course of the season. Really, the ranges of where he was shooting. I'm looking at it, and it's pretty spread out, Matt. Like, the types of shots he was taking, and also where on the floor he was taking, and also, too, at what point in the shot clock was he taking these shots? So as far as his field goals go, catch and shoot, he was 32.2% frequency. Pull-ups, he was a 32.7% frequency. And then shooting from less than 10 feet was 35.1%. So that's pretty, I mean, that's what you would ask for in a guard, to kind of mix everything up as far as where you're taking your shots from. So I was pleasantly surprised with the second half of Coby White's shooting. And I think I think that goes without saying. A lot of Bulls fans, in fact, felt the same way. And I think that all goes back to confidence. But what did you think about his overall shooting from the start to the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe the where his shots were coming from, as you were alluding to, could have had something to do with it, because Kobe said himself, it was quoted saying, when I got here for training camp and I was getting through some of these practices and some 5-on-5 run and I was getting up my mid-range shots, basically Jim and the staff said, don't take that shot. That's a bad shot. As the Bulls were like all in on this dumbed down version of we believe in analytics, hashtag analytics, eliminate the mid-range shot. Well, Kobe shot the mid-range pretty efficiently at the college level, and he was one of many Bulls players to have some kind of, issue with the fact that we're eliminating this all entirely now. And I think that was partly the reason why his percentages were struggling. You look, in the month of November, he shot 35% in 15 games. In 14 December games, he shot 37%. January, 39%. And finally, when he started playing well in February, he shot 43%. And in his five March games, also 43%. I think you saw Kobe, whether it was, Jim letting go of the reins a little bit on the no mid-range thing, or Kobe deciding even as a rookie to say, to hell with that, I'm going to go do my own thing. You saw him knock down mid-range shots, especially early in games, and that could give him the confidence to then go out and improve upon that three-point percentage when he was launching threes. To me, like that's how I read Kobe's season going.
The one thing that surprises me too is I remember a lot of the talk coming out of the draft last summer about Kobe White. The one concern, I feel like across the board, as we kind of nitpicked and analyzed Kobe White's profile, was the fact that his shot was super low, the angle at which he was shooting. So a lot of people were concerned, is he going to be able to get off those three-point shots the way he was able to do that in college? And I'm actually more shocked looking at the breakdown of the stats. I knew he shot well, especially towards the end of the season from three, but I was absolutely shocked to taking a look at where he was shooting the ball from, how many dribbles he was taking too, but most importantly, where were the defenders in terms of when Kobe White was shooting and how close were they? So NBA Stats does a really good job of breaking this down. 0 to 2 feet is very tight. 2 to 4 feet is tight. 4 to 6 feet is open, and 6+ feet is wide open. So Kobe White took the majority of his shots either open or wide open this year. Only 66 shots from a tight range and only 9 shots with very tight defense. Surprisingly enough, he shot 48.9% on open shots, 50.7% on wide open shots, so you could count on him to knock down the open shot when given. And then his three-point percentage, too, on those shots are very, very good. When he was open or wide open, he shot 37.2% on 156 three-point attempts, and he shot 34.7% on wide-open three-pointers on 196 attempts. And I look at that dip in wide-open three-point shots, too, as something as more of a early season, didn't have the confidence, didn't have the rhythm type of thing. When we were seeing him knock down shots, I mean, he was open, he was guarded. I mean, when he was cooking, guys could not stop him. So I was very, very surprised, not only by his field goal percentage, by the type of defense he was getting pulled, especially late in the second half.
The other element to that is sometimes, especially in the early stages of the season, Kobe was asked to do a lot on a second unit that didn't have a whole lot going for it. And he didn't get a lot of minutes with that first unit, because even once he finally got the one start and Zach LaVine was out nursing his leg injury by that time, so they never started together, Kobe was still playing a lot more with Zach LaVine in like the last 10 to 15 games of the season and playing a lot more with the starting unit, even though he wasn't actually technically starting. And I think that helped the shot profile, and it helped the fact that his shots were more open looks, because like before that, when Kobe was playing with some pretty rough second units, and you're saying, well, who on the second unit other than Kobe can create their own shot? Who other than Kobe in the second unit can score the ball either off the dribble or coming off the screens? Like the fact that the numbers prove when he had good open looks, he was shooting better percentages is encouraging. And I think that was maybe what was so frustrating about the first part of his rookie year, was that as a rookie, he was just put in a pretty unwinnable situation because he ended up taking a lot of tough shots at the end of shot clocks when he was, you know, had a defender in his face. He had to do more probably than you should ask of a rookie running those second units. And Jim Boylan tried to say, well, that's what we like about Kobe, keeping him in the second unit. He's, you know, learning a leadership role. He's doing this and that. He's running the second unit. Well, okay, yeah, but he was also running a trash second unit. If he's a talented young player, well, then let him maybe go play with the other talented people you have.
It's a good point. Matt, question for you. Do you know who Kobe White had the most assists to on this Bulls team this season?
Is it an obvious answer or a weird answer?
It's not as obvious as you would think, but I think if I gave you the answer, you would be like, oh, okay, that kind of makes sense. It's not, I will say this, it's not a starter.
I would want to say Daniel Gafford, because that would be awesome if that the Kobe Gafford connection was that strong, but I don't remember it being that strong. I mean, God, I hope it's not Archie.
That's funny that you say it's Archie, because Archie was actually the second most passed to from Kobe White this season. Kobe White had 265 passes to Ryan Arcidiacono. Listen to this, though, Matt. Ryan Arcidiacono, when Kobe White passed to him on three-point shots this season, Ryan Arcidiacono shot 50% from three. He was 17 for 34 when Kobe White assisted him on a three. That's kind of crazy. I know it's not a lot of three-pointers. I know it's a 34. That's half a three-pointer a game. But still, to shoot 50% from dishing to him, and that was your second most frequently passed to guy, it's kind of weird. That's a weird stat. But it was Thaddeus Young. Thaddeus Young and Kobe White, as I'm looking more and more in the stats, seems like those two guys, as it wasn't as obvious, I think, like to the eye, that those two were playing kind of a two-man game, but it seemed maybe from early on, that's why we're catching all of these stats, and Thaddeus Young seems to stack up with him, that he was coming off the bench with him too, but he had 330 passes to Thaddeus Young. He had 35 assists to Thaddeus Young this year. Thaddeus Young shot 44.5% when assisted from Kobe White. He shot 56.9% from two, and he shot 30.8% from three. So I was actually surprised that it was Thaddeus Young at a frequency of 16.4%.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, but I think that also speaks to how much of an afterthought Thad Young was this season, when people had such, you know, flowery things to say about how smart of a signing it was, you and I included. We thought it was a pretty smart move, and you know, I don't know if the Pacers just figured out that Thad was on his last legs and were okay to let him go, because all we heard was, oh my gosh, the Pacers organization is devastated to lose a great veteran leader like Thad Young. He was immediately brought in and named a captain and talked about all the leadership stuff he was going to bring. But on the floor, he's pretty disappointing. And obviously some of that was not getting as many minutes as Thad Young, a 12-year NBA vet, has been accustomed to. Because the Bulls have this young front court that they're trying to mold with Lowry and Wendell, and even, you know, the second round pick Gafford, who wanted to get some run. Thad is just kind of like, he didn't really fit anywhere. And he also was, yet again, like Kobe, like Zach, a player who was outspoken in the, yeah, I didn't really play my version of my game when I got here at training camp and they installed this system. Because guess what? Thad Young, Zavine called him the trebuchet all season long, was slowly launching these threes instead of playing Thad Young's game, which has always been a post game.
I wonder if that was more of an FU to Jim Boylan, because Jim Boylan was asking him 11 years into his career, hey, we want to change up your game completely. How do you feel about that? So it was like Thad Young's like, dude, are you kidding me? All right, I'm going to go out there. I'm just going to start chucking up threes then until you actually let me play the game that I was brought here to play, which
right.
is a whole other thing.
You know, of all those second unit pieces the Bulls had this year, none of them were great. Like, kudos to Kobe White for being smart enough to be like, oh, that guy is a 12-year NBA vet. Maybe he knows what he's doing. Maybe I should give him the ball.
Yeah, just let him go to work underneath the post. For a lot of times, when we saw Thaddeus Young get hot, he was working it in the post. And then that three-pointer kind of came around at the end. I don't know. The Bulls just tried to make him a three-point shooter when he wasn't really... he wasn't that guy. Like, he could knock it down. It was a nice complimentary, maybe third or fourth piece to his game. That's certainly not what Thaddeus Young was touted for in his NBA career. He was shooting threes a big man. It was just banging bodies down low, and hopefully you're grabbing rebounds and playing halfway decent defense. But yeah, I was very shocked at that. Let me ask you this then, since we're on this. Who do you think was the most frequently assisted to Kobe White? So on Kobe White's shots, who assisted him on that the most this season?
So who gave Kobe the most assists on Kobe's baskets?
Correct. And it's not that all that high of a assist total either. I will say that.
Is it Archie?
It is not. Archie is actually Archie is fourth. No, fifth by one, though. It goes down by one every single time. It's actually Zach LaVine.
Zach was going to be my second guess.
So Zach LaVine had the fifth most passes to Kobe White this season at a 9.3% frequency, but he had 23 assists to Kobe White. That was Kobe White's highest. I'm looking at it. Kobe White's field goal percentage when assisted by Zach LaVine, 38.3% overall. He was 37.5% on twos and 38.3% on three-pointers. So anytime Zach LaVine was assisting him on a three, it was pretty much going in, more likely than not. But Thaddeus Young, again, had the most passes to Kobe White, and he had the fourth most assists at 19. So Chris Dunn was second at 21, Thomas Adoransky at 20, Thaddeus Young at 19, and then Ryan Arcidiacono at 18. So Kobe White got, you know, again, it goes back to that. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention early out of the season, but Kobe and Thaddeus Young seemed like they were playing a two-man game for a while.
And I think, you know, this is the crux of the issue that a lot of Bulls fans are wondering about, and I think a lot of the Bulls fans have different opinions about, which is, you know, you're talking about, all right, who did Kobe dish the most buckets to, and who dished the most buckets to Kobe? Is Kobe a point guard or a shooting guard? Or even a combo guard, if you want to throw that, you know, in a category in there in the poll. Because based on the metrics of what we saw this season, technically, he played a hell of a lot more shooting guard than point guard. He even, because, you know, hashtag Jim Boylan, played more of what kind of guard is Kobe White. The metrics say that he played the bulk of his minutes at the shooting guard spot this season. Barely any at the point guard spot, and even more minutes at small forward than at point guard. But we saw in his solid February that he picked it up not only with his scoring, but with his assist numbers. Now you're looking at a draft class that is weak at the top, yes, but also guard heavy at the top. So does what they saw from Kobe White this season and all they're evaluating dictate in some way whether or not they'd pick another point guard in this draft?
I think if the best player available in the draft is a point guard and it's clear cut, you take him. Like I've told you before, who cares? Who, maybe Kobe White from 5 years from now, we find out that Kobe White is the point guard of the future of this team and he can play that position. But I don't think it should negate you right now from drafting another point guard. It's not clear cut that he can play that position there. And it's not clear cut that Kobe White and Zach LaVine are the answer together long term here either. So you got to kind of think about that as well. Because if you're thinking that way, and maybe 2 years down the road, Zach LaVine says, deuces, Bulls, I'm getting the fuck out of here. And you slide Kobe White over to the shooting guard position, and you let the guy that you draft now or maybe in the future slide into that point guard role. But it's one of those things, again, I think, you know, the Bulls are going to do that case of take best player available at this point. But I don't know. We can talk about drafting stuff in a few weeks, but that's going to be a really, really good question. Matt, before I ask you a couple of things, just overall, general conversation about Kobe White and the wrap of his season, I want to let our listeners know about a secret weapon for learning new things and getting ahead. It's hard to find the time to sit down to read and learn more. When you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. This is really awesome, Matt. So this is like, if you ever used, you know, there would be quick notes, or you would buy these things at Barnes & Noble, especially if you were in college recently over the last 10 years. You could buy these little packets that would basically give you summaries of every single chapter in a book. Maybe you had to read it for a class and just wanted extra information for it. This is exactly what this is. It's like giving you the keynotes of the entire book. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made to for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. I've really started to get into audiobooks as well, Matt. I love podcasts, but when I run out of my favorite podcast's new episodes, I tend to flip over to an audiobook. So this is the perfect opportunity to do that. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but never had the time to. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books. All the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer for just our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. That's BLINKIST.com/NBA. That'll give you free 7 days to try it out and save 25% off of your new subscription. Again, that's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/NBA. You'll get 7 days off and save 25% on your new subscription. Do that now. You got plenty of time now to learn new things. So go ahead and use Blinkist and let them know Locked On Bulls sent you. So Matt, question for you. The beginning of the season, your expectations for Coby White. Now that we're saying, okay, the season is unofficially over, are you pleasantly surprised with the goals and expectations that you set with Coby White? Are you a little disappointed, or are you at around where you thought you would be?
Yeah, so I would say I would probably be somewhere along the middle of about what I expected. If pressed, I would say I was pleasantly surprised by Coby this season. Partly because, you know, we just need more positive things to think about right now in these dark times. But also because I was sitting here on this podcast with you saying Satoransky is this team's starting point guard. They signed him for that reason, that very reason. Kobe's good, but he's raw, and he's not ready for that much responsibility. Over the course of the season, I was wrong. I was gradually more and more wrong. With Coby White and his ability to break down defenses, to knock down shots, to attack the basket, to finish at the rim, and also show us more as a passer, that, like, that's what I thought would be Satoransky's greatest strength, was highlighting the strengths of his teammates by being a low-usage, high-efficiency player. Then he wasn't really even doing that, and he wasn't knocking down his shots. So I would say all of those things combined, especially on top of the big moments where Coby shined, hitting clutch shots, making big clutch plays in the, you know, rare occasion of the Bulls having a close game, a winnable game, sometimes even contributing to a actual win. That is, to me, like, so much a part of why I'm saying pleasantly surprised from Coby. Not that I didn't doubt his ability to do that, because he certainly shined at UNC and was one of, if not the best player on that team as a freshman. But it doesn't always translate to the NBA. It just doesn't. So I am definitely on board with saying pleasantly surprised. Maybe some of what I expected. I expected some of those early season struggles. And again, as we've discussed, maybe not all of those are Kobe's fault. And it's the rookie wall, and it's Jim Boylan, the coach, and his issues. But I expected some struggles, and we saw some struggles. But the lasting memory that we'll have from rookie year Coby White is, holy crap, this kid can play.
That's a really good call. I think the disappointment kind of set in early on in the season. I think just because of the highest expectations that we had for this Bulls team, partner that with the combination of injuries, the struggles to close out games in the first 2 months. But then we saw glimpses. You know, we saw the game in Charlotte back early where we saw him and Zach LaVine go off to basically save both of those guys, both of that game, really. And we saw Coby do this a couple times within November, drop 26, 28, 30 points. But then really the bulk of his scoring and the heaters he was going on were in the last about month to 6 weeks of the season. So this is the perfect thing, though, Matt. is leaving this season off on a positive note for our rookie, gives us a whole lot of time to talk about the optimism in Coby White's game as opposed to maybe what it could have turned out to be, right? He could have kept going on a inconsistent streak and have a down year, and then we would have been talking all summer long about, you know, is Coby White the right guy? Is he the guy that we thought he was when we were drafting him? What are the expectations for next season? And I feel like we don't really need to bank our hope on, is Coby White going to turn out to be a good player? It's more, how good can Coby White be? We know he's good, but how good can he be? The other thing, too, I know a lot of criticism has come down on Jim Boylan and the Bulls over the last, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks of the season, people clamoring for Coby White to start. I will say this, I will defend Jim Boylan in this fashion, is I think he did a good job with Coby White in terms of how he played him, how he pushed him, what he did to get the most out of him. The confidence level in Coby White was at an all-time low at the beginning and the start of the season. And even Coby White talked about the frustrations in the two-point game, wanting to bring his mid-range game back. And I think fighting through all of that adversity, maybe listening a little bit more to some of the things Boylan wanted him to do, and then ignoring some of the other things that Boylan wanted him to do, him and Zach LaVine kind of figured out their stride and their stroke. And Coby White's confidence came alive in the last 4 weeks, and I'm really excited to see where that goes. But I'm glad, and maybe this isn't Jim Boylan's thinking, but I'm glad he didn't force the issue of, let me just go throw him out there to start just because. You know, I think building up Coby White's confidence and letting him earn that role ultimately put a boost in Coby White's step. You know, earning that spot over Thomas Satoransky. Think about it. Thomas Satoransky is a 5-year vet in the league. I mean, he was brought in to be your starting point guard to compete with Chris Dunn. So not only did you beat Chris Dunn out, but you beat Thomas Satoransky out for the job as well. And you also had Shaq Harrison and Ryan Arciakno on the roster too. And a lot of people didn't think Coby White was going to be that guy this year. So for Coby to step up, I know it was only one game that he started before the NBA decided to shut down, but I think that was ultimately a good confidence boost. And whether you're pissed off that you didn't get to see more of him and Zach LaVine play together, I'll take the confidence boost going into the offseason and seeing what Coby White works on and see how he develops and gets better. So I won't crush Jim Boylan on the starting thing. Was it stupid and unnecessary maybe in the last 2 weeks of the season? Probably, but I won't kill him for that. I'm cool with that, so... I think that wraps it up, though. That wraps it up really with our player review for Coby White. There's a lot more we could have talked about. Matt and I could have went another half hour on this, but if you guys have any evaluations of what you thought about Coby White, here's the one question I would pose to you, and you can drop it at 331-979-1369. You can tweet at us at Locked On Bulls. If you're on Facebook, we're on Facebook as well, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. You can send us a message there. Were your expectations for Coby White met, disappointed, or at about the same level? Where do you think Coby White is 3 years from now? What kind of player are we talking Coby White? And what's your best comp for Coby White after seeing him for an entire year? Who do you think he most matches up to in the modern NBA? Who's the player he most reminds you of? So drop all of those for us at 331-979-1369, as well as other questions that you've got for us. Text messages, voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369 on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, or at Bulls_Peck. That's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We want to thank our sponsor in Blinkist. Go ahead and grab Blinkist, the application to help you read books quicker, learn more information quicker. That's Blinkist, BLINKIST.com/NBA to get 7 days free and 25% off your subscription. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Wow, that's crazy.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com